And now WJCU University Heights presents Jewish Community Radio, a weekly half hour in this time slot every Friday, where we bring you the best guests and what's happening in the Jewish community here in Cleveland and around the world. And I love bringing on some of the top guests. And today we have on a Clevelander, one of the most famous Clevelanders in the Jewish world, William Daroff. William Daroff is the Vice President for Public Policy of the Jewish Federations of North America. And in that capacity, he is the voice to politicians, to the community. When it comes to what's going on in Israel and the Jewish community in the United States, William is the man. William, welcome to Jewish Community Radio.
Thank you very much, Fred. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, having known you for over 20 years, and also to all my friends in my hometown of Cleveland. It's a pleasure, as I speak to you from Jerusalem, to be talking to the Jerusalem of America's North Coast, Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow, that's a compliment for Cleveland if I ever heard one. But hey, William, you know, you're a Clevelander, you've been here, you know the city, and now you have just accompanied a flight to Israel from a group called Nefesh Bin Nefesh. And I guess that kind of translates to soul or soul in soul. And it's really a great concept because what they do, tell me if I'm correct here, Nefesh Bin Nefesh helps people who want to move to Israel. And not only is it Israel, but in a spiritual sense, moving to Israel is considered a fulfillment of the Jewish yearning for the Jewish life. Is that correct? Is that a good way of describing it?
I mean, I think it's you can talk about making Aliyah, Jews returning to Israel, in a number of different directions. One of them is certainly spiritual. One of them is historical, that for hundreds, thousands of years, the Jewish people have been prevented from living in Israel, from going to Israel, from having a Jewish state. And since 1948, that's changed, and we're now able to do things that our forebears only dreamed of doing next year in Jerusalem, pray at the Western Wall, at the Kotel, to live where the patriarchs of Judaism lived, is really an amazing historical reality that, as I said, our great-grandparents and their parents going back generations and generations would have found unfathomable. And so it is really the fulfillment of one of our the Jewish hopes and dreams that have been around time immemorial.
Now, moving to Israel, of course, is not an abandonment of this country, this great country. It is, in fact, really a sense of love and wanting the family to be brought up in a Jewish environment and a place where our forefathers are from. Is that a good description?
Yeah, I don't think it's a anti-American or if you live in Beechwood, an anti-Beechwood thing to want to live in Jerusalem or Maale Adumim or Tel Aviv, but rather it's a personal choice about living Jewishly in the land of our people. And that's not to say that University Heights isn't a place to live Jewishly, but rather living in Prague is a place where one can live more Jewishly. It is amazing every time I'm here to think about the bus driver being Jewish and the maids being Jewish, and the every strata of society is represented here with Jews in these roles that we're not used to them being in. And it's just really a way to take a deep breath and relax and realize how far we as a Jewish people have come.
Now, you're with the Jewish Federations of North America. That's not Nefesh Bin Nefesh, which ran this flight, but yet you accompany the flight. I think it's really nice to see that the Jewish Federation of North America are saying, hey, we are part of this, and we applaud this.
Well, we actually do more than applaud it. We are some of the primary funders of it in two different ways. One is through the Jewish Agency for Israel, JAFI. We are, the Jewish Federations of North America, are the primary funders, along with the Israeli government, of the Jewish Agency. And the Jewish Agency is a major funder of these flights by Nefesh Bin Nefesh. They pay Nefesh Bin Nefesh for each person who comes on the planes as part of the Jewish Agency's efforts towards building Aliyah. So the Jewish Federations give money to the Jewish Agency, the Jewish Agency gives money to Nefesh Bin Nefesh. The second way is that there are many federations across the country. I don't have a list in front of me, but there are many that directly fund Nefesh Bin Nefesh. and are therefore directly engaged. I know in Cleveland, Bobby Goldberg, the former president of the Cleveland Federation, is someone who's been deeply involved with Nefesh B'Nefesh, perhaps has been on their board, but there are so prominent individuals throughout the country, the United States, who are engaged in this as well. So it's really a partnership between the government of Israel and the Jewish Agency, and so the Jewish federations are involved with that. And as it stands now, any North American, anyone from the United States or Canada who seeks to make Aliyah to Israel through agreements that were reached in the last couple of years will do so through Nefesh B'Nefesh. The Jewish Agency will point them to Nefesh B'Nefesh, the government of Israel will point them to Nefesh B'Nefesh, and that will be the instrumentality through which people make Aliyah and fill out all the paperwork. And it's really, you know, when we think about making Aliyah, there were all sorts of horror stories about how difficult it is and was to make it through the Israeli bureaucracy. You heard stories in the 1990s and the 1980s and before about people literally spending their first 3 months as Israelis trying to work their way through the bureaucracy, trying to you know, be at the offices between 10 a.m. And noon on a certain day, you know, on a certain street. And if they missed it or running late, then they'd have to wait another week to get their paperwork. And so what Nefesh B'Nefesh thought to do was to expedite the means by which people can make Aliyah. So it's one less worry, one less headache that people who are uprooting their lives will have to undertake. And so on the flights themselves, it was really amazing. They walk around with these tablets, these like computer clipboards, and people are able to fill out, once the door of the plane closes, they're able to fill out their paperwork and their forms such that the day after the plane lands, they can go to one of 10 different sites across Israel to pick up their identity papers and actually from that moment be situated in a place where it used to take months and months. They showed me on these tablets how if you wanted to change your name from, say, Jim McGreevy to Yeshua Golani, you could do that right there on these tablets, on these forms, so that when the identity paper comes the next day, all of a sudden McGreevy's gone and Golani is who you are. It's really an amazing technological feat, and one that really took some good American and Jewish ingenuity to help expedite.
The interesting thing about this is that, or should I say, one of the interesting things about this is that these flights are, at Euron was a booked flight. It was a chartered flight, but not everybody has to go on these chartered flights. But why was there a chartered flight specifically for Aliyah? I mean, people can make Aliyah on any flight. They don't have to wait for the chartered flights. Am I correct?
Yes, there are three different ways that one can make Aliyah as far as and have their airfare taken care of. One is through these charter flights, three or four charter flights a year, mostly during the summer, that leave from JFK in New York. And the entire plane, the entire 240 or 50 seats or so, are filled with people making Aliyah, like the flight I was on yesterday. There also are what are called group flights, which leave from different places across North America, where they'll book 40 or 50 or 60 seats, a quarter or half of a plane, and that group will go over by themselves. There might not be 200 people who want to leave from Toronto on a given day, but maybe they can try to get everybody during a particular season to go on a specific date, so you can get 50 or 60 people to go. And then the third way is they've made arrangements through El Al, as well as through U.S. Air, through Philadelphia, that if people want to go individually, they can do so. And so a lot of it depends on the schedule of an individual person who wants to make Aliyah, but also what they want to be a part of. Do they want to be a part of a big arrival ceremony with singing and dancing and speeches by government officials, or do they want to do something a little bit more private and a little bit more personal? Or does the timing just not work for one of these other groups like? So the idea is really to allow the olim, the immigrant, the person making aliyah, to do so on their own terms. And again, that's something that Nefesh B'Nefesh has brought to the table along with the Jewish Agency that is a change, where it's really the immigrant, the olim, the person who's making aliyah, who's in control of their destiny. I have some information about the people who are on the flight. Do you want to hear about some of the specifics, Fred?
Absolutely. I was going to ask you that next, in fact.
Yeah. So there were 239 Olim on the plane. The youngest was 7 weeks old. The oldest was 82 years old.
Wow.
There were 41 families represented. This is my favorite part. There were 103 children on the flight. 103 children who today are Israeli citizens who were not Israeli citizens 2 days ago. There were 58 singles, 9 people on the flight who were leaving literally straight from the airport to go join the IDF to become Israeli soldiers. My second favorite statistic, there were 4 dogs and 1 cat who were also making aliyah on the flight. The professions that were represented were artists and computer people, dentists, engineers, insurance agents, interior decorators, lawyers, professors, rabbis, real estate folks, social workers, web designers. They came from, there were people on the flight from Ohio and from about 15 other states. And they were going to places all throughout the country, to Be'er Sheva and Beth Shemesh, and Carmel, and Jerusalem, and Givat Shmuel, Haifa, Herzliya, Kfar Saba, Mitzpe, Netufa, Modi'in, Ramat Gan, Ranana, Rehovot, Tel Aviv, and on and on. And so they really did represent a, as I say, an ingathering of the exiles of people who, from all different walks of life, are going to make Aliyah. This summer of 2010, this was the last of the charter flights, 3,000 Jews made Aliyah. So there were 3,000 new citizens of Israel just this summer alone who were not citizens when the summer began. The Nefesh B'Nefesh did 44 of these charter flights, 56 group flights, which were the ones I talked about where they take 40 or 50 seats here and there. Altogether, and this is since they were founded about 10 years ago, they live in 135 cities across Israel. There have been 460 plus new marriages and engagements of people who came singles on Nefesh B'Nefesh, including 8 who met on flights. And it's really interesting. I don't know if they wanted to talk about this, but they arranged how people sit on the planes based on trying to help them build relationships going forward. And so
Wow. All
of the families with lots of kids are at the back of the plane, but the singles are all at the front of the plane, and they're grouped by age as well as where they're going to settle. So on the front left of the plane, you might have all the 20-year-olds who are going to go live in Tel Aviv. In the middle of the front of the plane, you might have all the 30-year-olds who are going to go live in Jerusalem. And so as you walk through the plane, you could see people who are of similar status and similar stature hanging out together, which is a really very cool process. Altogether, since 2002, Nefesh B'Nefesh has brought in 25,000 new Olim from the United States and Canada and the UK. So it really was amazing to see. The retention rate, which is the number of the Olim who stay, is at 98%, which is also an issue because you found, and I'm sure, Fred, that you have relatives, or certainly we have friends and neighbors in Cleveland, who tried to make a go of it in Israel and just couldn't do it. It's heartbreaking for all concerned. But through Nefesh B'Nefesh and the Jewish Agency and the efforts that they've made, through having social workers and job counselors and job fairs and all sorts of ways of trying to make the Aliyah process go more smoothly, they've been able to come out with a 98% retention rate, which is really remarkable. If you think about the effort, the stress that goes into packing up your entire life, your entire household, leaving your relationships behind with your neighbors and your relatives, bringing your dog and cat, and coming and settling in a new land, you know, with or without a job, probably with a job that's not quite as well-paying as the one you've left behind. You can see the stress that that would involve. And to have 98% retention rate, I really think, speaks to the fact that they've got this model down pat.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I mean, I got to thank you, William. Great work you guys are doing with the Jewish Federation of North America. And I should say, we are speaking with William Daroff, former Clevelander and the Vice President for Public Policy over at the Jewish Federations of North America. And I should tell people, we are pre-recording this segment a few hours in advance. I am going to be in studio actually manning the board because you're in Israel right now, and by the time we actually get to the noon broadcast, it's going to be Shabbat or very close to it in Israel.
That's correct. I'm in Jerusalem as we speak. This is pre-recorded. I'm glad you mentioned that. People don't think I'm talking to you on Shabbat. And I will be, at the time that this is being broadcast, which will be 7 p.m. Jerusalem time, I will be in the old city of Jerusalem at the Kotel, at the Western Wall, starting Shabbat. And I will definitely, Fred, have you in mind, as well as all of your listeners in Jewish Cleveland and throughout the region while I'm at the Kotel. So I'm glad to be able to share a very special Shabbat in Jerusalem with you and your listeners.
Hey, William, I want to take a break for the news from Israel, appropriately enough. And how about we come back to you with a segment after that and talk about whatever else the Federations of North America are involved with?
I'd love to do that.
Great. So let's take a break for the news here on Jewish Community Radio. And we'll be back with William Daroff, who is in Israel, as we pre-record this segment.
This is your weekend newscast from Israel National Radio. The latest summer Nefesh B'Nefesh flight landed Thursday, bringing new immigrants from the United States and Canada.
And we're back with Jewish Community Radio, and we're pre-recording a segment with William Daroff, the Vice President for Public Policy at the Jewish Federations of North America. And William, in the first segment of the show today, you were describing the Nefesh B'Nefesh Aliyah flight that you accompanied, and I was really impressed with what I heard. I mean, I saw the news. I saw the video on the website, nbn.org.il. They had a welcoming ceremony for the new Olim, the new people who moved to Israel. Absolutely phenomenal. And it was really neat watching all the people who were coming to Israel and having a – now, I don't know how to describe this for people. I've never in my life seen a ceremony at an airport. But that's what Nefesh B'Nefesh does. When a new flight arrives, there's this big, massive rally, and it's really uplifting just watching it. But nonetheless, you're in Israel, and you're there for how long?
Unfortunately, just for a week. We come back. I'm here with my wife and kids, who came a little bit before me, and we return to the United States on Thursday night next week.
Wow.
But let me just say, on the arrival ceremony, it is really remarkable. It's, you have, and you should go to the website, as you said, nbn.org.il, and look at the footage of it. It is when the Olim come off the plane, so many of them are, and this is after, as your listeners know who've been to Israel, it's a long flight. This is after a long flight with 103 children screaming in the back of the plane, but with great energy and ruach on the flight, great spirit on the flight. When a lot of them get off the plane, they get down on their knees and kiss the tarmac, like the pictures from the days of Yon. The kids, the teenagers who are on the flight, the young adults who are on the flight, are singing and dancing as they walk down the stairs of the plane. And then you take a bus to the old terminal at Ben Gurion Airport, Terminal 1, which isn't used anymore. And when they get off the bus, there's just a wild, joyous celebration with singing, with friends and family who are there to welcome the new Olim, with people who had been on previous flights who are there to welcome. And it's very much a carnival. And it's something that for these weary, tired, nervous, and anxious travelers is just amazingly uplifting. And it's it's like a huge carnival, and it is celebrating this great mitzvah that the Olim have made in making Aliyah. And then you go into the terminal itself, and there's a ceremony welcoming them with major political figures, major figures in Israeli society, and then they hand the identity papers to one person from the flight to represent everybody else who's on the flight. Everybody else gets their identity papers the next day. And we heard from Silvan Shalom, the deputy prime minister, who has the portfolio of development in the Negev in the south and the Galilee in the north. And there's a major effort underway to encourage the population, Jewish population, in the north and the south. And so it fits into what Nefesh B'Nefesh is doing. And so I encourage you to go to the video on the web and take a look at it. It is live broadcast when it happens. But it's a very joyous and fun celebration.
Yeah, if you want to go there directly, the website for that video is nbn.org.il/live, and it's a fun video to watch. I don't know how to describe it any other way. But William, in a few minutes we have.
Did you see me on the video, Fred?
I gotta admit, I didn't see the entire video because there's just so much there. But I do plan on watching it. But so where are you in the video? Tell me.
I haven't watched it either, but they seemed like I was on camera a bunch coming off the plane and then during the ceremony itself. So that would be something, instead of playing Where's Waldo, you could play Where's William. Other thing I want to mention that's kind of neat is I'm very active on Twitter, and people can follow me at www.twitter.com/Daroff, D-A-R-O-F-F. But when I was on the plane while we were at the gate before we took off, I was tweeting about being on the flight, and three different people sent me tweets saying, these are people who follow me that I don't really know, saying, hey, so-and-so is on the plane, please tell them I love them, or tell them that this is their brother and I'll see them when they land and I'm so proud of them. And a third person said, tell them that their adopted mother loves them so much and can't wait to see them when she gets home. So once the flight was up in the air, I got their seat numbers from the Nefesh B'Nefesh staff, and I went to each of them and said, you don't know me, but I know so-and-so, who tweeted with me to give you this message. And a couple of them started crying. Another of them was just so proud. It was really a very neat way through Twitter, through social media, to touch people real and to bring people who are not experiencing something and bring them into that experience, which is a lot of what I love about Twitter. One other very interesting or odd or peculiar thing was that of the three people that I went to say hello to, two of them were literally sitting across the aisle from each other. One was in 42H and one was in 42G. And so when I went to say the message to one and then turned and there was the other, they're both married and both had families, so it wasn't that sort of connection. But I said, it's very odd that the two of you are right here next to each other, and obviously this is speaking to a greater purpose that you guys should know each other and schmooze. So go at it. And they laughed, and we're going to have 10 more hours on the flight together. So I'm sure they connected and became fast friends.
Wow. But it's interesting. Also, I should say that with Twitter, you have over 4,200 followers, and you are, I got to tell people, there have been articles written about you and Twittering, so William is a serial Twitterer, but it's nice because you keep everybody informed. I like you're following you because there's always something, if I want what's going on, I follow you and a couple other people, and that's all I need to know for what's going on because you do tell people what's happening in the Jewish world and what you're working on, and it's always interesting reading it. Hey, William, we've covered so much here, and I wanted to get into what's happening in the Jewish world outside of just this Nefesh B'Nefesh flight, but you know what? It's just been one of those interviews where we ran out of time. We've covered so much here about this flight that we're totally ran out of time before we even got to what you're working on with the Jewish Federation of North America.
Well, you know what that means, Fred. It means that sometime over the next few weeks, I'm going to have to come back.
Anytime. And William, we got to get you live in the studio one time. I know you come to Cleveland every so often. You sneak in, you sneak out. But you know what? I'm going to have to get you live in the studio one time. Wait a minute. I take that back. We did that already. You were already live in the studio one time.
I was live in the studio on the Sunday morning show with my 9-year-old daughter on probably about 6 or 7 months ago.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of fun, and I'm always happy to talk to my friends in Cleveland.
Well, anytime you want to come back on, you let me know, and I love to hear what you're working on because you always work on something big with the Jewish Federation of North America. And before we go, we gave the Nefesh B'Nefesh website, but what's your website?
Thank you very much for that, Fred. It's www.jewishfederations.org. So www.jewishfederations.org. Let me also plug two other things. One is my Twitter address. Again, is Daroff, D-A-R-O-F-F, on Twitter. And then lastly, our affiliate in Cleveland is the Jewish Community Federation of Cleveland, one of the strongest Jewish federations in the world, one of the strongest Jewish communities in the world. And they're at jewishcleveland.org. So I encourage you to get connected with the Cleveland Jewish Federation as well.
And you read my mind. I was just about to give that give that plug as well. Hey, William, thanks for coming on. It's been a pleasure, as always. I know that by the time this is being aired, it's going to be Shabbat Israel. We're pre-recording this. And what can I say? Have a pleasant Shabbat Israel. And to everybody here in Cleveland and who's around the world, this is Jewish Community Radio here on WJCU University Heights. My guest, William Daroff, this week. And we'll be back Sunday morning, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., and every Friday as well from 12:30 to 1 p.m. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody.